For the best TV viewing experience, witness the coziest maroons, the most vibrant and brightest moons, the eeriest and darkest tombs, and radiant and vivid hues in any type of room with the Neo QLED and OLED TVs by Samsung. We're supposed to say Samsung, but that didn't rhyme, so you're welcome. Samsung, more wow than ever.
I'm John Batchelor. The book is The Oswalds, Paul Gregory, An Untold Account of Marina and Lee. The president is dead. Officer Tippett is dead. Lee Harvey Oswald is dead. Jack Ruby will die in future of cancer, is my memory. However, all of these facts, in addition to ones we've not been able to explore, are part of the Warren Commission charge to investigate everything that happened that day, what the assassin before, who the assassin knew, what he talked about. And there are clues in all directions that if you apply the logic of conspiracy thinking, say, well, what about this? And it goes to the fact that not only did America think and continues to think in large number that other people were involved in the killing besides this 24-year-old delusional, arrogant, and extremely violent young man, Lee Harvey Oswald, but also at the time, the presidium of the Soviet Union thought it. They had a meeting immediately when they realized that Lee Harvey Oswald had been somebody they'd pampered for 3 years by giving him his own apartment in Minsk. They'd had watched. The KGB had watched him very carefully using a cutout named Pavel, not only to watch him as a friend in Minsk, but also to continue to correspond with him while he was in Texas. And in one correspondence, Paul's name is mentioned. So there are facts going back and forth with this current cutout. He's not necessarily, his name is Pavel, not necessarily KGB, but he works for the KGB. And there's a very slight distinction in the days of the Cold War. So, Paul, we need now to go to your experience of the Warren Commission. You take us to Dealey Plaza on the, I think right before you're going to testify, you give an affidavit that's going to go to the Warren Commission. When you visited Dealey Plaza, why and what did you make of the explanation that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone?
The reason I wanted to go by Dealey Plaza was just to check with my own eyes how difficult it would have been to make that shot or make those shots. I'd been through Dealey Plaza 20, 30, 40 times in my life because that was the connection to the Dallas-Fort Worth Turnpike. What struck me was that the shot looked to me, to my inexperienced eyes, not knowing much about firearms, that it was a fairly easy shot because you go down, I can't recall, Elm Street, and in front of you is the Texas School Book Depository. You then have to make a stop and turn to the left and go by the Texas School Book Depository. And Oswald had clearly given this considerable thought, you know, where to locate himself. And at that point where you have to make the left turn, the automobile or the limo is basically not moving. So to me, it looked like a fairly easy shot. So this is what lawyers would call due diligence. I just wanted to see with my own eyes, and I came away with that impression.
We're looking at the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone for reasons that might be missing. It might be, Paul introduces in the book that one of the explanations for why we can't solve this is that there was no reason. There was spontaneity, there was wickedness, there was impudence, and there was something in Lee Harvey Oswald that told him he could become important in some fashion. One of the major details that comes to me, Paul, is that when Lee Harvey Oswald came back, I believe from the Mexico adventure, at some point, the friend of the friends of the Dallas Russians led him to apply for the Texas Book Depository job, which he got right away. But that the president's route wasn't established for more than a month after Lee Harvey Oswald got the job. So there was no particular plan. It couldn't have been. They didn't set the president's route through Dallas. As you've said, There was anxiety by the Secret Service because of all the hostility at the time towards the Kennedy administration. They didn't set the route until 4 days before the event itself. That rules out, Paul, a timeline that says that Lee Harvey Oswald planned this any more than spontaneity.
Well, he was spontaneous in this thing. He did think up an excuse which allowed him to conceal the contents of this wrapped package that he took in with him to work. And indeed, he would have had like 4 or 5 days to figure this out, whereas for the Walker attempted assassination, he worked on it 2-3 weeks. So this was spontaneous. He would also have had to look up the bus schedule. It's a very bizarre way for a presidential assassin to flee the scene in the city bus. But it's very difficult to look at these series of coincidences without latching on to one thing that causes you to think that it was a conspiracy. Even the Gregory family, in some quarters, claims are made that we were part of all this. We were representatives of this radical Russian community in Dallas. My father was in the oil business, and there were oil interests who wanted Kennedy out of the way. So I can tell you for sure we were not a part of any conspiracy, but that theory is still floating, by the way, and it probably originated in Moscow.
Yes, because Moscow is trying to defend itself. The reason we have the Oswald file is because the Soviet Union fell apart at the end of 91. And Yeltsin, who became president of what remained of the Soviet Empire, released the file for scholars. And Paul has looked at the file. Others have looked at the file. And it's thorough. And it also is a source of why the Soviets think he did it. Because the Soviets don't want to be involved in any fashion. There's one little detail, Paul, that springs out at you as to warn anyone who's trying to reconstruct a crime from the crime itself backwards to the original thinking. The man that Oswald interviews in the Soviet embassy in Mexico City is an illegal. That is, he's KGB posing as an embassy officer. He's not only a KGB agent officer, he's also of the 13th Department, which is my memory is, or I think I looked this up because you so that's a department that's used once upon a time for what was called wet work assassination. They were the bully boys. And so if you want to build this backwards, you can find facts like that, cherry pick the facts to come up with an Oswald who was directed by the assassination conspiracy. However, Paul, you're very careful about this, and we're going to get on to your thinking about 50, 60 years later, why Oswald remains the lone shooter and we don't need anyone else. But your testimony before the Warren Commission was very clear. Your father's testimony before the Warren Commission was very clear, straightforward, and we've touched on many of the facts. Marguerite Oswald before the Warren Commission overwhelms me, Paul, with revelations. What do you learn from the way she conducted herself before Chief Justice Warren?
I originally had no intention to write an entire chapter about Marguerite. But as you yourself have seen, this is an incredible event where this dumpy nurse sets herself the goal of going against Earl Warren, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And she had these crazy stories about Lee, about his childhood, about how he's actually a hero. And she actually demanded of the Warren Commission, of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, that he give her subpoena rights. because her argument was that her hero son was not represented, did not have legal representation in front of the Warren Commission, and she was going to correct this injustice. So here's obviously, I think one can use the term deranged woman, you know, thought that she could dominate the Warren Commission study of what happened. So she's an incredible story, and her story is extremely important because she is the mother of Lee Harvey Oswald, who had two brothers who Marguerite farmed out to orphanages. They turned out just fine. Lee did not. So one can really not understand Oswald without understanding Marguerite.
She had marriages, she had divorces, she had three sons by two different fathers. She traveled from Texas to New Orleans to New York. Her son was always, Lee Harvey Oswald, whom she called the boy consistently, was always in trouble, violent trouble, Paul. You tell a story about how his older brother Robert Oswald took him hunting for rabbits when they were in Texas, I presume, and Robert gave Lee Oswald a rifle and a shot at a rabbit nearby. He shot the rabbit right away, but then he continued to shoot bullets into the dead carcass. What you'd have to say was a moment of craziness, just adolescent craziness. But there are other violence, and pulling knife on one of the relatives of his half-brother, the Picks. He hit his mother at one point. We know he beat Marina, and it's not conclusive. A violent temper doesn't necessarily lead you to be an assassin. But Marguerite deliberately involved everybody into the conspiracy thinking. She planted it. She hired Mark Lane, correct, Paul? She brought Lane in. And Lane is the author of all the craziness about the CIA killing Kennedy.
There's no doubt that a major explanatory factor in virtually everything that Lee Harvey Oswald did in his lifetime can be traced back to the influence of his mother.
And your reading of her with and before Earl Warren, do you believe that the Warren Commission, the people participating, because these were earnest men and women pursuing this for months, did they understand that Marguerite was the explanation that is not an explanation, but it is a drama that Lee Harvey Oswald would have experienced when he was a child being dragged behind his mom?
They clearly understood this. Justice Warren was warned that this is going to happen in her open testimony. But they decided to let her speak, let her demonstrate her craziness to the world. And they somehow maintained their composure during her testimony, where her constant complaint was that Howard and Kunkel never took any testimony from her. My father witnessed Howard deposing Marguerite, and everyone associated with Six Flags Inn knew about this. But they still treated her very graciously. And so it would have been evident to everyone that they were dealing with a loose cannon.
The book is The Oswalds. Paul Gregory is the author. And when we come back, Paul Gregory on The Lone Shooter. This is John Batchelor, CBS Eye on the World.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
For the best TV viewing experience, witness the coziest maroons, the most vibrant and brightest moons, the eeriest and darkest tombs, and radiant and vivid hues in any type of room with the Neo QLED and OLED TVs by Samsung. We're supposed to say Samsung, but that didn't rhyme, so you're welcome. Samsung, more wow than ever.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more connecting online, and more personal info potentially being exposed to identity thieves. But with a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist, you don't have to face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other losses from identity theft all alone. If your identity is stolen, we'll work to fix it. Backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package. Spend more time on holiday fun, not identity worries. Save up to 25% your first year. Go to LifeLock.com/aware